Financial Services LLC. Ameriprise Financial cannot guarantee future financial results.
WRCO FM in Richland Center, WRCE FM 107.4.
I'm Sherry Preston. The trade war with China is on. 10% tariffs kicking in overnight. The retaliatory 15% tariffs on U.S. goods entering China in effect as well. However, ABC Chief White House correspondent Mary Bruce says the trade war that President Trump was threatening against Mexico and Canada has been averted for now.
After two phone calls with Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, Canada agreeing, in addition to its existing $1.3 billion border plan, to appoint a fentanyl czar, list cartels as terrorists, and launch a joint Canada-U.S. strike force to combat organized crime, fentanyl, and money laundering.
Mexico also announcing new border security rules in exchange for the temporary tariff pauses. Two key test votes today for two of President Trump's cabinet picks, Health Secretary nominee Robert Kennedy Jr. and Director of National Intelligence nominee Tulsi Gabbard. Five people shot at an adult education center in Sweden this morning. Happened about 125 miles from Stockholm. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WRCE 107.7 and AM 1450 News, I'm Tim Thied. Governor Evers, together with Wisconsin Office of the Commissioner of Insurance Commissioner Nathan Howdeck, announced Friday that according to the Centers of Medicare and Medicaid Services, 313,579 Wisconsinites signed up for health insurance on the individual marketplace through the Affordable Care Act during the 2025 open enrollment period, making a nearly 18% increase from the previous period and the highest enrollment Wisconsin has ever reached. This year's record surpasses the year's record-breaking enrollment by more than 47,250 enrollees, underscoring that continued importance of affordable health care coverage options through the ACA. This announcement comes as last week, Governor Evers, as part of his 2025 State of the Union address, also announced new efforts in his upcoming 2025 through 27 executive budget to ensure Wisconsinites have access to affordable quality health care, including increasing access to necessary prescription medicine and improving consumer protection. Since it was signed into law by former President Barack Obama in 2010, the ACA has been transformational for folks and families across the state and country, providing health care coverage to millions of Wisconsin families and ensuring folks can access health insurance without lifetime limits and protecting the coverage of more than 100 million Americans, including 2.4 million Wisconsinites who have pre-existing conditions. Although the open enrollment period has closed, some individuals may qualify for special enrollment periods throughout the year due to their personal circumstances.
The Bucks lose in OKC. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks lost their fourth game in a row, this time in Oklahoma City against the Thunder. The final 125-96. Giannis, Damian Lillard, Brooke Lopez all sitting out with some injuries. That meant more playing time for backups like veteran Pat Connaughton.
I think for us tonight, we didn't do a great job of taking care of the basketball on offense, right? We didn't do a great job of keeping out of the lane on defense. You know, when you look back at the game that we played them in Las Vegas, we did a good job of making some of those twos hard.
College hoops, Marquette falls in the rankings to number 11 after losing to UConn at home over the weekend. They're at St. John tonight. The Badgers now rank 21st. They host Indiana tonight at the Kohl Center. NFL, at the Super Bowl opening night, Chiefs running back Isaiah Pacheco asked what's his favorite song they play at Arrowhead Stadium.
This is how we do it. This is how we do it. Yeah.
That's the Chiefs' Isaiah Pacheco. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A mixture of sunshine and clouds for today, highs in the low 20s. A cloudy sky for tonight, lows to the mid-teens. Snow developing for Wednesday. Even some freezing rain mixed at times, high near 30. Currently it's 12 degrees.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
The argument from my former party has been, it's not the guns, it's mental health. Well, no worries, folks. Governor Evers has got you covered. He introduced a plan to put millions of dollars into mental health, particularly for young kids. And the Republicans in the chamber did not clap. If you can't be it for kids, then what the heck can you be for? Jeepers, criminy.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Dom Selvia.
Next time, we go overtime with Maggie Dawn. Will Wisconsin be spared from the dumbest trade war ever? Plus, what is a special government employee and how do I get one? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6. News from the center, WRCE.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. Hey, good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, Earl. How are you?
I'm doing fine, man. Cal, the weather?
You know, at least it was sunny this morning.
Oh, was it?
Oh, yeah. The sun was in my eyes, my old right.
Oh, okay. Well, it wasn't when I came in. I guess it's still a little dark when I'm coming in. So, but anyway, it's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays for the one and only Sandy Williams. Good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing, man?
Well, I'm doing all right. I'm doing much better than the Bucks did last night.
Oh, man.
They didn't show up, literally. Yeah.
You know, Sandy, there was a time that something like that would have never happened. Those tickets that people, you know, pay for, those high prices, those people wanted to see Giannis and Dame. I guarantee you.
Yeah.
They only probably get one chance a year to see Dame. Giannis.
Well, and then the highest scoring guy for the Bucks was someone named Rollins.
Yeah.
People have to go and try and figure out who that was.
Well, their G team played.
Yeah.
The whole G team. I've never seen that, Sandy.
Yeah, it was. They definitely threw in the towel.
Yeah, I mean that's pretty amazing. A pretty amazing thing to me. I was somewhere else, and by the time I got home, I knew the Bucks were on. So let me turn over and see the Bucks. And I turned over in the third quarter. They were losing by almost 40 points.
Yeah.
And I said, man, yeah. How can this be? At that time, I didn't know that they didn't play the top five players.
Well, I suspect the league will have something to say about it, actually.
Yeah. Well, you know, they've got to. Sandy, Super Bowl is this Sunday. Any favorites?
None of my favorites are playing in the Super Bowl.
No,
I'm afraid that, you know, both teams are really good, but it's a redo, and I think the NFL is probably, in a way, sorry that was the outcome, because ticket sales are, you know, not anywhere near matching what they were last year in terms of the price of tickets and what have you, so the interest level is down.
Hey, Sandy, could it possibly be because it's in New Orleans and the Superdome. The Superdome is older than my house. I'm just,
yeah.
It's been around a long time.
Yeah, I know.
And the amenities can't be, you know, Sandy, the amenities can't be that great in the Superdome. So
I think it has to, I don't know. Who knows what causes prices. People are still betting on the game, so, right, you know, there'll be lots of people watching it.
Oh, yeah. I think it's going to be a good game. Personally, the Philadelphia Eagles are a really good team, and I want to see them knock off Kansas City.
Well, I would, too. I think most people, you know, it's sort of like the Yankees.
Yes.
The Yankees always had a following, but most of the country wanted the Yankees to lose.
Sandy, there's so much to talk about this morning, and it all centers on the presidency, government, you know, Project 2025. The thing that President Trump said he didn't know anything about. You mentioned that most of these moves that they're talking about, and by the way, the next one up is doing away with the Department of Education there.
Yeah, I mean, they're using 2025 as the playbook. You know, in fact, it's just the basic playbook. They're winging it and going well beyond, I think, the way Project 2025 conceived of this happening. Project 2025 conceived that they would spend a lot of time building up an infrastructure within the White House that would then be capable of micromanaging the rest of the government. But Elon Musk has taken care of that. He is the infrastructure that the White House has, and he's put together a shock and awe, shock force, a small cadre of people who are running around using the president's power indirectly and directly to take control of the government. And they're doing it in ways that Project 2025 didn't even contemplate. Taking control of the payment system at the Treasury is like controlling the aorta of a human being. You know, they've got the main artery, all the ways that money flows to all of the workers and all of the people in America, five, I can't remember the numbers of trillions of dollars that this office and this process writes checks for, but it's essentially the entire U.S. budget. Yeah. And he now has physical control over that process and is able to shut off whichever appendage of the government he wants to.
You know, Redway's got a group of brilliant, very young people, some 20 years old, just kind of genius kids who are going through all of this stuff in rapid fire.
Well, I mean, this process is unaudited. There's no supervision. There's no check and balance. Elon Musk derives a great deal of his wealth from a number of his corporations who are heavily dependent on their government contracting. He now has access to all the information regarding the bids and costs of his competitors who he might be bidding against. I mean, he's burrowed his way almost immediately into the position of being in control of the information flow in the federal government.
So
much of that is highly strategic. Much of it is confidential, and much of it is strategically secret.
He's got more power than the vice president. And when you see,
if information is power, he has more power than the president. Okay, and the president says that he's in control of Elon Musk and that he won't be doing anything without Elon Musk getting his approval. But Elon Musk is going to be describing to the president what it is he wants to accomplish, and he's going to be in a position to persuade and design the discussion in such a manner that he's going to be able to do a great deal, and the president is only going to be able to try to understand what it is he's accomplishing.
You know, Sandy, I asked you this earlier about the permanent harm that this is going to do to our government. A government that clearly had some issues, you know, many of us could disagree and argue with the way our government has been run before, but we'll be whimpering and crying for the old way the government was run after this, right?
Well, our government has evolved, and it's evolved in a process that is filled with process, okay? So that we have lots of regulations. Every one of those regulations goes through a public notice process, potential hearing processes, and then potentially congressional approval processes after the issuance of the rule. And then most of those rules get tested in court because there are members of the public who either are for them or against them who decide that they want to contest them in court. So our government has evolved over time through a process which is designed to include due process. And to decide that you can simply tear it apart, you know, this is a blitzkrieg. This isn't shock and awe. This is people with boots marching into places, taking them over, shutting them down, shutting down USAID overnight, taking control of the U.S. Treasury's payment system. It's, you know, someone you mentioned to me that Elon Musk was talking about rescinding all the regulations. Right. Throw them all out. And then if any of them are needed, we can reinstall them. Well, that, first of all, couldn't be done legally. But number two, were it to be attempted, I mean, those regulations aren't there for no reason whatsoever. They were all there for the reasons of public policy. You know, if we've had something wrong with government, it's been K Street and it's been the power of lobbyists. Well, you know, now we have a K Street that's running right down the middle of Main Street, and it's in full view, and it's the wealthiest people in the world who are now in control, direct control of the government. They're not wielding it by threatening Congress people for about whether they'll get primaried, although that's being done as well, but they've seized direct control.
Two text messages. Brendan, what are you saying, that America is up for sale to the highest bidder? Well, color me surprised. And then Tony said, Elon and his minions can't even be arrested because they'd be pardoned immediately by Trump. He's right, Sandy.
Well, yeah, I mean, what we've got now is a process that is lawless, okay? And we've elected someone who promised to shake things up, but this isn't shaking them up the way they're currently going at it, you know? And the president himself is acting much more predictably, but his minions, the people who have used him, essentially, to get him elected and then to exert their influence over him, are behaving much differently. And they're behaving in a way that I would accuse of being reckless. They've decided that our government is essentially bankrupt, and they're going to throw it out and start over again. Well, that's a massive experiment, and it's a massive experiment that's being done at the expense of the American people.
You know, Sandy, he conned Tom, Dick, and Mary. Donald Trump did a great job of conning Tom, Dick, and Mary that he was going to be looking out for their interests. He hasn't even mentioned them.
Well, no, his tariff policies, the things, you know, now, you know, this public posturing that he's been doing and this public negotiation, he thinks maybe develops him as a stronger tough guy, gives him a stronger tough guy reputation. But quite the contrary. I think that the rest of the world is watching this, shaking their head and realizing that this guy can be handled. And you know, for instance, he's declared victory in a negotiation with the head of the Mexican government, this newly elected woman, when in fact she obviously took care of him. You know, she gave him a Pyrrhic victory, the 10,000 Mexican troops that she's taking to the border. Well, the prior president of Mexico cut that deal with Joe Biden without any pressure whatsoever in the beginning of the Biden administration.
855-752-4842. That means it's Tuesdays with Sandy Williams, and there's a lot to talk about on the Earl Ingram Show.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Usinger's has been making America's finest sausage for over 140 years. Now Usinger's fresh brats are flash frozen and vacuum packed so they stay butcher shop fresh for 6 months in your freezer. And because there's no air in the package, there's no need for chemical preservatives. Usinger's fresh brats are the freshest, most additive-free you will find. Enjoy some this summer with our other Great Link products. Our backpack sausage seals in flavor and leaves out chemicals. Remember, if it's got the elf on the label, you've got quality on your table.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. New Federal Election Commission filings by multi-billionaire and quasi-Trump cabinet member Elon Musk show that he and his company spent at least $288 million in the 2024 election cycle, even more than expected. We reported last October that Musk poured millions into his America PAC, offering a borderline legal $47 bounty for referring unregistered voters to a website collecting personal contact information. Open Secrets reports that Musk poured $118 million into the PAC just between July and October 2024. Musk coughed up another $20 million to fund the RBG PAC, funding misleading advertising suggesting Justice Ginsburg agreed with Trump on abortion. In October, Musk contributed another $925,000 to a Trump PAC, Trump 47 Campaign Committee Incorporated. Musk filings show that contributions in $10,000 increments flowed to most state GOP committees around the country, many payments coming in late October. Curiously, the most recent filing shows Musk put another $45 million into the America PAC after the election, perhaps to make donations to the Trump Inaugural Fund or begin funding the 2026 midterm cycle. Find links to the FEC and Open Secrets data for even more Musk contributions at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
I want to be a billionaire so freaking bad. Buy all of the things I never had. I want to be on the cover of Forbes magazine. Smiling next to Oprah and the Queen. Oh, every time I close my eyes, I see my name in shining lights. Yeah, a different city every night. Oh, I swear.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays is my co-host, Sandy Williams. And Sandy, we'll put it out there to see if anybody knows the music selections and why. And so they'll have to wait until later on in the show to hear that. But so all of you on the phone lines, Calvin, you please.
Yeah, we have Mary from Tulsa.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were going to play my, go ahead. You have officially entered into the Twilight Zone. Sandy, this is uncharted territory, and so
well, the Twilight Zone has a sort of a humorous side, tongue-in-cheek aspect to it. I don't think this is very humorous, quite frankly.
All right, let's go to Mary from Tulsa. Good morning to you, Mary. Thank you for the call. You say what?
Morning, gentlemen, and thanks for this opportunity as usual. On the subject of finances, I personally had no intention of buying into Bitcoin, but concerning information in political talk right now, I'm hearing something pretty concerning about a Bitcoin scheme that the administration and Congress are intending to introduce cryptocurrency into the federal system. Cynthia Loomis, a Wyoming mega Republican senator, is introducing or reintroducing the S-4912 Bitcoin Act of 2024 for address. Do you have any information about this, and could you share, please? Thank you.
Hey, Mary, thank you very much.
Well, I don't, other than the fact that Donald Trump has, in a half-baked sort of way, talked about thinking about putting the American dollar on a Bitcoin basis, you know, not a gold standard, but a cryptocurrency standard. But of course, I think that I would put that into the harebrained discussions that he had during the election. But who knows? I mean, he's now talking about the sovereign fund, and it is true that the Biden administration talked about investigating the possibility of having a sovereign fund. But the people ought to understand all of the complexities that would be involved with the United States setting up a sovereign fund. A sovereign fund could be a huge sum of money that would be controlled somehow by the government, and its investment would be in private enterprises, creating something much like the Wisconsin Retirement Fund or any of our pension funds. But how you control how those things are invested, in a private pension fund, you don't have much concern about whether things will be invested other than for the benefit of the recipients of the pension. But if you have a government with a huge fund, they could invest it in they favor. It could become a political tool for making investments in a patronage sort of a way. They could feather their own nests. One of the discussions of this sovereign fund that Trump is now talking about is, well, maybe we'll buy TikTok. I mean, maybe this is going to become the plaything of the politicians in power in government. But I should just say that whether a sovereign fund is a good idea or not, it requires lots of investigation. And then how we set it up must be handled very carefully and can't be done simply by the administration deciding that they'll do it and setting one up. The accountants of the world, the people who worry about the proper behavior and fiduciary behavior of those who control money, would be turning over in their graves if they thought that a presidential administration could simply set up a sovereign fund for the United States and then run all that money.
Let's go to Robert from West Dallas. Good morning to you, Robert. You say what?
Good morning. I think what we need to do is remind people who Elon Musk is. You know, in a lot of people's mind, he's Tony Stark, right? He's a genius and self-made man. That's not who Elon Musk is. He's a toddler with a Lego set. Elon Musk is the guy that sends tweets from the bathroom. He's the guy that sleeps with other men's wives. He's the guy whose dad owned an interest in a mineral mine, and they were extremely wealthy growing up. I think people really need to realize that before he bought Twitter, he had I don't know if he settled the suit or not. He was trying to buy a woman a horse because she was a flight attendant on one of his corporate planes, and he was accused of a sexual assault. This is who Elon Musk is. No one elected this guy to get into everyone's personal data. You know, if you're a progressive-minded person, dump your Tesla. Do not go on Twitter or X or whatever the hell it's called now. Close your account. There are things we can do. But I would like to see the media step up. They've created this monster with Donald Trump. It's time to put him back in his place. And where are the Democrats? Wake up and start fighting. There's so much to go after. Give up on immigration. The country knew what they were voting for. They wanted it to happen. That's not where the fight is. It's all these other issues around democracy. I mean, you don't have the CPAC conference in Viktor Orban's Hungary for no reason. There's a plan here, and most Americans don't know what's in 2025. That's where the battlefield needs to be, not immigration. Let it go. Focus on the big stuff.
Hey, Robert, man, you kind of hit the ball out of the park, Sandy.
Well, absolutely. I do think that immigration is the shiny object, and it's been the shiny object that probably got Donald Trump elected, and he's going to continue to thrash around about it. My suspicion is that even without much pushback, all of these people of great wealth who are controlling Donald Trump will push back themselves to the extent that the immigration the deportation of immigrants would begin to get in the way of their economic interests, and it will very quickly. This is an experiment. This is what they're doing right now is like a 10-year-old playing with a chemistry set and experimenting with the federal government in a way that is outlandish. And the only people who are at risk of this, not the people who are doing the experimentation, the people at risk are Tom, Dick, and Mary, the people of the United States.
All right, 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday with my co-host Sandy Williams and you. We're going to continue the conversation. Again, Trump fires the director of Consumer Finance Protection Bureau. What does that mean to you on the Earl Ingram Show?
News from the center, WRCE. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
for WRCE 107.7 and AM 1450 News, I'm Tim Thied. Key deadlines are rapidly approaching for eligible Wisconsin voters seeking to cast an absentee ballot before the February 18th spring primary, according to the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Starting today, clerks can begin to issue in-person absentee ballots at the clerk's office or another designated location. The in-person absentee voting process involves a voter both requesting a ballot and completing that ballot on the same trip to the clerk's office or designated location. When a voter requests an absentee ballot in their municipal clerk's office or another designated location, they will complete their ballot immediately, seal the ballot in the proper envelope, and return it to the member of the clerk's staff. Meanwhile, Thursday, February 13th is the last day for most voters to request an absentee ballot by mail, online, email, or fax for the February 18th spring primary. In practical terms, though, that results in an unrealistic time frame for the voters to receive the ballot, complete it, and return it to their clerk by Election Day. Voters who still need to request an absentee ballot by mail should act immediately, said Megan Wolf, administrator of the WEC and the state's chief election official. Registered voters can make their requests online at myvote.wi.gov. Voters faced with tight deadlines for absentee voting by mail have the option of using the IPAV process. IPAV timing may vary from community to community. For WRCE 107.7 and AM 1450 News, I'm Tim Thied.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The 2025 Grammys are in the books, and the big news of the night was that Beyoncé, no last name, won Album of the Year for her country-themed album, Cowboy Carter. Beyoncé drew 11 nominations, which gave her 99 all-time, and also made her the most nominated Grammy artist ever. Mrs. No Last Name also won Best Country Music Album of the Year. Kendrick Lamar won Song and Record of the Year for Not Like Us. Chappell Roan won Best New Artist. Brandi Carpenter won Best Pop Vocal of the Year for Short and Sweet. Best Rap Album went to Doechii for Alligator Bites Never Heal. Other big talking points from the 67th Grammys, a moving tribute to L.A. firefighters who presented the last award of the night. And Taylor Swift did not win one single award. You have to wonder if Travis Kelce will still dig her in the big way. She'll be back. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A mixture of sunshine and clouds for today, highs in the low 20s. A cloudy sky for tonight, lows to the mid-teens. Snow developing for Wednesday. Even some freezing rain mixed at times. High near 30. Right now, we're at 11.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
There are solutions to the rot in the Supreme Court, and it's a congressional binding code of ethics. There are solutions to the corruption. It's a constitutional amendment to declare that money isn't speech and corporations aren't people, and we can do this. These are things that Americans agree on no matter our party. We all know that presidents aren't kings.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
At 3 o'clock, I'm joined by Supreme Court candidate and current Dane County Judge Susan Crawford. We discuss Brad Schimmel getting on his knees next.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday is with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And we are talking about some things, Sandy, that are taking place. Project 2025, if people recall, you spent an entire week, we did, going over what was in Project 2025. And Donald Trump clearly stated while he was running, he didn't know anything about it, hadn't heard about it. And now he, this is going even beyond what was in Project 2025.
Well, the mechanism that's being used to accomplish what was in 2025 is going beyond what was ever discussed in Project 2025. But 2025 was a pretty comprehensive model for what it is that's happening, which was basically to remake the United States government, but to tear it down completely. And you know, he started mass firings. He started buyouts. He started all the things. You know, the Project 2025 had built into it the notion that he would try to get rid of at least 15,000 federal employees right from the get-go. Well, he's well on the way to that number, even though everyone thought the number was maybe 3,000 to 5,000. He's clearly got his sights, and Elon Musk have their sights on a much larger number. I think they realized they could stub their toe when they started sending out this opportunity for people to essentially stop working and get an 8-month buyout, when they realized that it could affect broad personnel, even those who might be involved with safety or agencies that were involved with safety. This airplane crash, I think, put a face on federal workers that should give the listeners at least some pause about the notion that federal workers should just be eliminated across the board.
Tony says, this isn't shaking it up, it's breaking it down. It's tearing the government down.
Yeah.
Tony also says, I believe conservatives love it when government picks winners and losers. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to CJ. Good morning to you, CJ. You say what?
Good morning, Earl and Sandy. Thanks for taking my call.
Well, hold on. Trump just said on today's news, breaking news to Canada, we don't need them for anything. Well, Sandy, anyway, go ahead, CJ. We don't need them for anything. Go ahead, CJ.
Well, accountability is going to be wonderful because the taxpayers' money, there should be accountability. And you guys were okay when the billionaires spent millions, and actually Zuckerberg over 460 on Joe Biden. You guys ranted and raved about him. But now when
I don't think Zuckerberg was ever it was ever established that he spent $460 million on Joe Biden. I think that's a conjured up fact. He spent millions, no question about it. But you know, how are you going to hold Elon Musk accountable? You know, accountability means that you report to somebody and that you have some limitation on what you're doing. But what's being done now in Washington is being done totally outside the boundary of the law.
Well, so was the FBI spending $2 million on Facebook.
Well, now you understand that pointing at someone else as having violated the law never was an excuse, okay? But you know, CJ, your tendency is to say, yeah, but, okay? And the yeah, but always involves pointing your finger at somebody else who was doing something wrong. Is that the justification? Because if you were allowed to get away with misconduct based on that when you were growing up, it didn't do you well.
You don't want to hear my point. You just
Well, hey, CJ, we heard your point. Okay, CJ, we heard your point, and your point makes no sense because Zuckerberg never got into a position where he was controlling what happens in our government. They're not the same. They're nowhere near the same.
What was your point? I thought your point was that this was good because now the government was going to be held accountable. Did you have a point beyond that to make?
Yep. Marco Rubio was taking over USAID at the State Department because of the amount of corruption that has gone on there. You guys don't want an audit. You don't want to know what's actually.
What? Who is you guys? Of course, that isn't true. I think an audit is a good idea. Auditing would be a process that is within the law. Okay, that's different. Okay, that's an audit. All of Washington ought to get audited, and they ought to get audited regularly.
Well, you are a hypocrite because you want certain laws enforced, but not others. You saw Biden go to the U.S. Supreme Court 3 times to get, after it was deemed unconstitutional, to have student loan forgiveness. You don't want an accountability.
Hey CJ,
I don't know who you is, CJ, but I'd prefer to be held accountable for things I've actually said or done.
And how do you even compare Joe Biden talking about student loan debt to Elon Musk and Donald Trump taking over the government? How's there a moral equivalency to that, CJ?
Because DEI proves the corruption.
All right. How does DEI prove the corruption? Thank you very much for the call. Hey, Brendan. You're up, man. I wanted to take him before you to give you a shot at responding.
I so appreciate that. You know, his CJ, his get the lid back is getting a little old. But hey, CJ, do you realize that the military, the DOD, that your wonderful boy put in charge of a guy who was a talking head on Fox has never passed an audit? The DOD's never gotten through an audit. They waste more money than I don't know who. But my thing was this. One, the oligarchy has arrived, ladies and gentlemen, and you can look at everything that's going on right now, and it all goes back to the people with all the money controlling what's going on. Two, sure seeing a lot of stories on people's phones about every little thing that happens with an airliner. Guess what? The Trump narrative machine is live and well, and it's out there pumping the narrative because he's got to justify the asinine thing he did after an air disaster. I just watched the poor father of that young skater and the mother on CNN, and I couldn't keep the tears from coming down my face. It's the saddest thing. And that clown got up and made it a political issue. And finally, more than anything, he's a nut. And people like CJ are just angry, and they've got nothing but anger for people. They don't have any solutions. And CJ, you don't care about accountability because Elon Musk made about $150 billion. We've got a guy who's not even a citizen getting government contracts, and now he's got your Social Security number and knows more about you than we do. So I hope you're happy. And everybody that voted for Trump, well, guess what? It's come to roost. And ICE, they're just taking soft targets.
Hey Brendan. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Cassandra from Madison. Let me ask you, Cassandra, you voted for Donald Trump. Are you having buyer's remorse?
Not particularly, and I'll tell you why. This can all be put an end to if the Republican Congress and Senate exercise their duties and require Donald Trump to follow the law. That's the issue we have before us, and that is what I am waiting to see.
Do you think that's going to take place? No, it's not going to take place.
I wish it would. And as I said before, I did vote for Trump reluctantly because something needed to be done because the Democrats, they were not fulfilling their promises. But I am not, unlike CJ, I am willing to say when something is a problem. And, you know, Sandy mentioned something that I had not truly considered before. Sandy said that Elon Musk has access to the official bids for government contractors. So what that means is that not only does he have information on government contractors from the past, but he could also inform his friend about what the bid was submitted for a contract that is in the process of review. And that is concerning. And Sandy, thanks for that information.
All right, Cassandra, thank you very much for the call. Sandy?
Well, I just think that what we've got going right now is unchecked, okay? And the government, our confidence in our government is because it's filled with checks and balances. But as Cassandra points out, it's going to be up to the Republicans in Congress to stand up to this president and to Elon Musk, who both of whom threatened to primary opponents against them. And almost universally, this Congress has proven itself to be supplicants, people who are afraid of that very process and are going to be submissive to whatever it is that Trump and Elon Musk want to push through. And we should understand that this is a blitzkrieg. What they're doing is doing it as fast as possible. They're doing as many things as possible simultaneously so that our attention span can't even absorb what it is that's ongoing as they do it. And, you know, each day we wake up to find out that something else startling has happened. Now, you know, whether USAID has been moved to the State Department is of much less importance than what's happening with Elon Musk and the control over all of expenditures and all the information that's implicit there, as well as this unsanctioned, unauthorized buyout of all federal employees. I mean, we're watching these people with zero governmental experience really experiment with our government in a way that the people at risk for this experimentation are the people of the United States. You know, they're experimenting with us, and we should understand that, yes, changes might be needed and transparency is important. And maybe the biggest change that would have helped would have to create much more transparency and to try and take money out of government, out of politics. I mean, but neither of those two things are happening. Nothing that's happening today is transparent, that's ongoing with Elon Musk and the others. And taking money out of government is the exact opposite of what's happened. Taking money, we've put money directly in control of our politics and our government.
You know, Sandy, Cassandra said it wasn't working with Joe Biden. And I think it's not going to take, you know, another month before people realize whatever was going on with Joe Biden, it was far better than what the prospects of what we're facing now could ever be. All right, 855-752-4842. Up next, we're going to talk about, you know, many, many other things on the Earth.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Izervay or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Donald Trump is president again, and Democrats need to take a new approach to combat this presidency.
Part of that is recognizing the realignment of how we arrived here. In last year's election, one thing Trump did successfully was turn out people who might not otherwise vote. In Wisconsin, he increased his vote share in all 72 counties en route to the largest popular vote total in state history. How did he do this? Well, as I see it, there are two factions of Republicans. One is the more traditional country club Republicans. The other is the newer group, what I'm calling the pro-wrestling Republicans. In my latest column, I wrote about how Donald Trump transformed the party by prioritizing the pro-wrestling Republicans, and why recognizing this new reality is critical to Democrats' ability to grab a steel chair of their own and fight back. Subscribe and read it now at the Recombobulation Area.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. It means Tuesday. This is my co-host, Sandy Williams. And Sandy will reveal what possessed you to play the music that you've played this morning. I kind of know if you listen to the lyrics of the things that you played thus far. We're going to do that in the next hour. But you are officially in the Twilight Zone, and let's go to the phone lines. Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. You say what?
Good morning, guys. Hey, real quick, I was taught in school that the main function of the United States government is really to create a landscape for liberty and justice for all. It is not a business. It's a government, and we cannot expect a government to run like a business. It's almost an oxymoron in ways. But this thing is totally come off the rails. So instead of really, you know, injecting the new term, which isn't that new, that we're devolving into a fascist nation, maybe using the right vocabulary will get the attention that of we the peeps. But what we're definitely seeing here, in my opinion, is we're seeing a transition of sheeple going into sacrificial lambs. This thing is with this new administration. You know, we already know their position on union busing. We already know you talked about consumer finance protections in other groups. Also, he has fired over a couple dozen inspector generals. So if we're looking for accountability in defense contracts or anything else, why in the world, CJ, or anybody else who thinks differently, why would you be firing the watchdogs of these groups other than the obvious answer? So, you know, we've suddenly seen this corporate profits are being treated with much more important than we, the people in our lives. We saw that with the jobs. We saw that with Rust Belt states. We see that continuously. You know, the malls. You know, the malls used to be a great place for everybody to meet and to have lunch and you know, you have social gatherings. I mean, my gosh, who would have thunk 30 or 40 years ago that malls would be almost extinct? Anything and anywhere where we, the people, meet and we congregate, we share, we care, it's been under attack. And I just got to say this, you know, again, it would trip my thought process here was the consumer finance protections, again, being removed so us sheeple can continue to fall into be the sacrificial lambs. It's really insane to allow our government to be run by a bunch of James Bond villains that are too rich to fail, too rich to jail, and too big to hold accountable. It's the truth.
Hey, Mike. Yeah. Thank you very much for the call, Sandy.
Well, I think Mike's the frustration in Mike's voice is what people must be feeling because, you know, you feel sort of powerless when you watch something like Elon Musk being given the keys to the car, meaning the United States government, and watching him drive it away. Because it seems to be something that is without the ability to control it. We've got a Congress that seems to be emasculated, and we only have the courts. And the courts can't act very quickly, and they don't actually have the power to enforce their orders. So I strongly believe that one of the next things we're going to see is the Trump administration defying court orders. And in fact, there's a judge right now who thinks that he enjoined the freeze on expenditures, who's expressing concern about whether the government is in fact ignoring that injunction. And it might be. So, you know, what we've got is someone who's actually attacking, assaulting the government as we know it, and believing that they can erect something different and what, from their standpoint, better. But what looks better to them is not, I think, going to look better to us.
Sandy,
it's going to be putting all this control in the hands of one person.
Let me say, Sandy, this is one of the greatest threats to the government of the United States that it has ever faced. And we're looking at this as it develops. And there are people who are silent on it. And nobody should remain silent on this threat.
People were frustrated. You expressed earlier, many people have been frustrated with the government, want change. And these people are taking advantage of that sentiment to change it in ways that nobody ever contemplated.
All right, 855-752-4842. Hang on the phone lines. When we come back, Trump and Congress are skipping out on the bill of...
News from the Center, WRCE. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Greg Bach is back. We're also going to talk to Abigail Sweats from Fair, Wisconsin, and concerns about the LGBTQ plus community. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Matinair on air.
Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor.
No court in the country came closer to overturning the 2020 election results than the conservative majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And we have Brad Schimmel, who's been siding with January 6 rioters. So if you want your vote to count going forward, show up and vote on April 1st. Let's channel that energy into the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
Matinair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Secretary of State Marco Rubio visiting El Salvador, announcing an offer from the country's president to accept deportees from the U.S. and to jail violent criminals as well, including American citizens.
He has offered to house in his jails dangerous American criminals in custody in our country including those of U.S. citizenship and legal residence.
Sources say members of Elon Musk's team have been seen at the Department of Education. Some think it will be the next target of Musk's cost cutting. Musk already announced plans to close the U.S. Agency on International Development. Former USAID lead official and current president of Refugees International, Jeremy Conendike.
That is a really, really dangerous playbook. And I think they're assuming that if they can get away with it at USAID, they can export that model elsewhere.
The trade war between U.S. and China is on. 10% tariffs announced overnight. This is ABC News.